Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante and with Thomas Frank Carr. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time for Ask T. Frank. And let me start the questions, T. Frank. How is your transformer doing?
No, I'm just kidding. We're good. Lights are still on.
Fantastic. All right. A week ago, our listeners had to tolerate a one-man Ask T. Frank. It turned into Ask Jim. This week, it's back to being the real thing. We get Ask T. Frank. If you want to submit a question for T. Frank, download our app, Keystone Sports, and you can send in your question to T. Frank. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and that winner will get the KSN sweatshirt. All right, you ready to roll, T. Frank?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Lee in Mount Lebanon, who says, hey, T. Frank, with all the craziness with coaching changes, transfer portal, it's hard to believe that the early signing day is here. It seems unfair to commits that they may have to make a quick reevaluation of which school they're actually signing with when there's ongoing last-minute changes. When do you think the signing day should be changed to be fairest to high school signees?
So I don't know, because there's a problem no matter where you put it. If you put it in August and then there's undoubtedly going to be coaching changes down the road, you've got guys that are signing their letter of intent to programs that they may not have the same coach. So there has to be a mechanism to allow them to reevaluate that situation after they have committed. And I don't know, you can say the transfer portal, but then that's your one, you use up your one bullet there and you transfer to a place and then something happens there, then you have to sit out. So maybe that's the mechanism, but I'm not sure. The early signing period here, the obvious, as you brought up, Lee, is that the obvious problem is coaching movement after the season changes a lot of stuff. Now, in Penn State's particular situation, losing Tyler Bowen lost them, I think, one tight end prospect in this class that went to Notre Dame and Holden stays. But really, when it comes to the way they recruit, they all recruit the players together. There is not one guy that recruits one player. So when you lose a coach to moving on to the next level, or if they, there's underperforming and they're you move on from that coordinator, you're not damaging relationships with a guy like Bo Perbula because the whole offense was recruiting him. You're not damaging relationships with Denai Dennis Sutton because it's not one defensive coordinator that is recruiting him, or Abdul Carter with the linebackers. So that's really, talking to my colleagues who follow this stuff and have inside information in the sources they do, that's really the story about Penn State football. Is in that particular situation, this team, it has less of an impact. But there's no doubt about it that when coaching changes happen, you've got to make some quick decisions at the end of the year, and that can be a challenge for football players. But the reality is there's no perfect solution.
I beg to differ. There's the gym solution. Let me share it with you, T. Frank.
Okay.
Very simple. Get rid of verbal commits. If you commit to a school, you're able to sign whenever it is. If you're the player, you've got to be truly committed that you sign. If you're the school offering the high school player, you've got to be sure you really do want him, because you make an offer, he could commit on the spot. Then you put in a date somewhere that, you know what, if a head coach leaves the school, you as a high school commit could make a change to that commitment if the head coach leaves.
You are eliminating 75% of my work. You are eliminating like so many days worth of content.
Okay, let me flip my answer now for job security for T. Frank. I take it all back. All right,
Very
T. Frank, how's
Thank
that?
You.
All right.
That's perfect.
Let's move on to our next question. And this is Jerry, and take note for where Jerry is from, York, PA, okay? That's a foreshadowing of his question. Jerry from York says, hey,
T. So we're definitely talking about Drew Aller, huh?
Indirectly, we are. Jerry says, hey, T. Frank, what is your scouting report on Bo Perbula? Does he have a legit shot at beating out Aller? And do you think he'll end up transferring out if he ends up behind Aller? I know so that transfer one is a hard one, hard part of the question.
So you know that commercial about becoming your parents when they're going to the when they're going to the football game and they're saying we're going to leave in the third quarter, right? And the narrator says, let's not talk about leaving the game before we actually get to it. So I'm going to leave that part for that. Like, we're just going to leave that there. I actually did a scouting report. I have a film room where I do on the majority of the commits in the class as I can get to them with my other responsibilities on my YouTube page. And I did Bo Prabula on Monday. He is the most accurate quarterback that I've scouted coming to Penn State. His footwork, his discipline, his positional skills when it comes to accuracy, precision, the ability to put the ball wherever he wants, whatever the synonyms you want. He is the best I've personally scouted. Now, that doesn't go back all the way to back in the day, but as far as that particular talent, I think that is great. Now, what he has to overcome, I think, is that he was playing in a less sophisticated offense than what Drew Aller was. So from a mental perspective, not saying he can't do it, he just has not done it as much as Aller. But I like the way he manipulates coverages with his eyes. I like his ability to play from the pocket and to play on the run. His accuracy does not diminish from any platform. The question is just this. 6'2", 205, does his arm get stronger as he gets bigger? Because I think his frame can get bigger. And we've talked about this on the show. This offseason, he took a significant step forward in his lower body strength, his lower body mass, and it made a difference in his velocity on the football. Now, the arm strength part, certain guys just have different ligament structure, length of, I don't know how that works, where some dudes just have stronger arms than others. And that's just an innate, baked-in sort of thing, and he may never have that. But when it comes to the level of arm strength you need to throw the football to any part of the football field, I think he can get there, and he's got a good arm as it is. So those are all building blocks that I want in a quarterback personally, and I can see him starting at some point in college, at some university. I think he's a starting quarterback in college. I'm not going to predict the future because I have no idea. It comes down to so many other things, so many other variables that we just don't know. And beating out Aller, all of that stuff, that's going to happen. We're going to see that happen at some point. But I couldn't tell you right here, right now, which one of them is better suited to start early or late in their career.
And here's the math in all of this, and it's a situation that every school is up against, not just Penn State. If you like both Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, but Aller is something special. Say he redshirts this year with Sean Clifford starting. I'm talking about Aller. Then becomes a starter in 23 and 24. After 3 years in the system, if he's as special as people want him to be, he could be off to the NFL. Bo Prabula would still have 2 years of eligibility.
Sure.
And potentially a starter. I know I'm looking way down the line, but would a Bo Prabula or any backup quarterback who has the potential to be a starting quarterback or thinks he has that capability, are they patient enough to wait 3 years for that opportunity?
And that's the personality thing that I don't personally know Bo Prabula. Here's the other thing, and this is something I said on my show earlier this week, is you're also only taking into account the quarterbacks that are on the roster currently. Next year, you need to get a five-star quarterback. The year after that, you need to get a five-star quarterback. Do any of those guys leapfrog him as far as they're just generationally good if Penn State can get a run there? That's what they're hoping for, and they're hoping that that talent and that competition elevates the room so that you truly have a superstar quarterback because they're pushed by competition and depth. Penn State has not had that. That's the reason Sean Clifford has been here for 6 years and Trace McSorley was here for 17. Because you've had two guys that are clearly better and a bunch of guys that had depth, talent, projection in Will Levis that and Tommy Stevens that could not, from a passing perspective, beat out the guy in front of them. Penn State needs to create that depth of that position. It starts with these two, but it is far from done.
Of course, and just look at the last 2 years. Penn State, I think, has lost five quarterbacks to the portal. And by the way, just in two segments' time, Sean Clifford's gone from a 13th-year senior to a 17th-year senior. It goes quickly, T. Frank.
It's accruing like interest. There's compound interest.
Let's go to Carl in Royersford, who says, I think all of Jair Brown, Joey Porter, P.J. Mustafa, Rasheed Walker, and Brandon Smith would benefit from another year at Penn State the same way Brisker and Dotson benefited last year. What are your thoughts?
Oh, there's a lot of names. So that makes me think you're a Penn State football fan that wants to see them all come back and you want the defense to fall apart. Give me the names again. I was stuck on a couple of them trying to get them all in my head. Jair Brown,
Joey Porter, P.J. Mustafa, Brandon Smith, those are the defensive guys, and Rasheed Walker on offense.
You're not wrong about any of that. I'm of the opinion Jair Brown, the signal is already out that he's coming back. So I think that's a clear thing. Joey Porter Jr., if he gets the evaluation of a team that loves length and size, he can go to the NFL and be a first-round pick just on his potential. That's happened more than once. Of a guy that isn't necessarily good at football, but has put together a good stat line or that has put together a good physical tape, and he could go. I agree. I think he could come back and he could help himself out. I think P.J. Mustafa, if he had played, would have had a good enough year to be drafted. The injury is the reason he's coming back. I don't know that it benefits him. I think it just delays the clock so he can be healthy to work out for teams next offseason. And that's just unfortunate because he was ready to be that guy. And then Rasheed Walker, you know, I agree with you, but we haven't seen him in 2 weeks. I don't know how the end of the season went for him from a health perspective, what the situation was there. But until I hear otherwise, I'm not making a determination on Walker. I can't figure out what his deal was because he was supposed to be great this year and he was okay. All of those guys should come back. All those guys could benefit from coming back. Penn State definitely benefits from having Rasheed Walker and I'd say Jair Brown particularly. The one guy I'd say is Brandon Smith probably should go to the NFL draft. He's big. He's long. He had good coverage skills this year. He can learn the box skills he needs to at the next level because he'll be a high enough draft pick to get that leeway.
All right, let's get one more question in here. Sammy from Tyrone says,
and by the way, Carl, I was just picking on you because it's always fans always think it's better for players to go to stay. And that's always the answer. You never hear, most fans don't say, you know what, he needs to go now. Saquon Barkley was going to benefit from coming back for a fourth year. So that's just, I take that with a grain of salt. That's all. I was just giving you a hard time.
Understood. I think the names he put out there were legitimate.
They were.
Go quickly to Sammy and Tyrone. T. Frank, in previous shows, you've mentioned that Clifford doesn't perform well under pressure. Is that something Yursich should be able to help him with another year?
Oh, that's a great question, and my answer is probably no. It's more about limiting the pressure on Clifford. So having situations that are more beneficial to eliminate said pressure, but the problem is you can't. Because if you want to throw the ball down the football field, and this is really where I'd say the biggest change could happen, is scheme up more open throws and have him throw in under 2.5 seconds down the field. But Clifford tends to hold on to the ball. And part of that is scrambling, and part of that is the ability to get out in space. So I don't know that the ability to change his thing is there. It's limiting the pressure on his profile.
Very good. T. Frank's going to be back in quarter number four. We'll name a winner, and we'll talk new defensive coordinator. Stay tuned.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.